Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello. Today is Tuesday, March 14th. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I am Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Please listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Send us post thoughts, questions. March Madness starts Thursday. It's all coming on. It's all hitting. We will be giving you the Kings from Queens consensus bracket a little bit later on. First, we're going to touch on the world of sports. We got a lot of different things going on. March is a crazy time for sports. Let's get it going on with some NFL news, because all of a sudden the NFL free agents, although you cannot sign, but you can sign, but you can have a contract, not have a contract. Everybody's all over the place. There's deals in place all over the place. Locally, we'll start with the local teams. It appears the Jets are going to get Rodgers somewhere, although this is not official. And I only point that way because otherwise, why would you trade for Allen Lazard? Why would you trade for Allen Lazard if you're not bringing him in? Jets made a couple other moves, re-signed Quincy Williams. They made a trade with Baltimore to get Chuck Clark in here, the safety. Guys, Kev, we'll start with you. What do you think of the Jets so far?
I'll start with a move I love, Quincy Williams. The contract, I think, was very fair for a guy who is, I consider, an above-average linebacker. The deal was paying as he was above average. I don't think it was an extravagant overpay for Quincy. And I think it helps keep Quinnen happy because he'll be needing a contract another year or so if they don't renegotiate this offseason for him. You know, you want to keep Quinn in here, so you keep Quincy, try and make him happy. Maybe they're a package deal. Lazard, big wide receiver, $11 million a year for 4 years. Basically, you look at Corey Davis, his contract this year is for $10.5 million, non-guaranteed. You can cut him and basically replace him with Lazard. So I think you're getting a little bit younger, a little healthier. And like I said, 6'5". He's a guy that Rodgers obviously wanted in here. This all has to lead to Rodgers getting in here. I don't think there is another choice of quarterback.
Don't get so happy with the youth, because if Rodgers is coming, which the indications are pointing that way, Randall Cobb will be right behind him. So don't get too crazy with the youth factor with Lazard, because Cobb's going to come here too as soon as they sign, as soon as Rodgers comes over. So I get what you're saying, and it's one of Rodgers' favorite targets. So you know,
yep. And we already have, you know, Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore as really young wide receivers. So you know. Yeah, you'd like to have your fourth wide receiver be able to play special teams and help out there. Randall Cobb will not, but we'll see what happens. Okay. And then I guess the other guy they're looking at is Mercedes Lewis to come in as a tight end. I think the Jets are pretty deep at tight end already. I don't know where he fits in necessarily. And the other name on the list was Odell Beckham. I don't know if I want him anywhere near the Jets. Well, I've never liked him. Darren?
Hey, listen. Hey, first of all, it's a wish list. Doesn't mean you're going to get everybody. Yeah. You know, secondly, the Quincy Williams thing. And I like Quincy Williams, too, because he plays downhill, makes a lot of mistakes, but he also makes a lot of plays. The reason he's re-signed so easily is simple. It's because of his brother. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that you wouldn't keep him anyway, but the fact of the matter is, if his brother wasn't a Quinnen, they would not be keeping him. As far as Lazard, yes, he's younger, and Corey Davis is a body catcher. Lazard is not. Corey Davis drops more balls than Allen Lazard. It's only $22 million guaranteed. So, you know, listen, these football contracts are all crap because you have to always look at the guaranteed money. The rest of it's all garbage, let's be honest. I think that, you know, you're going to cut Corey Davis. You're going to replace him with Lazard. He's probably – I don't know if he's better. He's probably the same player. He's a little bit – he's a little longer, a little less strong. Davis was a nice leader in the locker room. I have no idea what Lazard brings in that respect. But, you know – the thing is, we're going to find out tomorrow about 1 o'clock because Rodgers has an appointment at 1 tomorrow, and we'll know. We'll know if he's going to be a Jet or if he's going to retire. I've heard both things. Don't know which one it'll be. If he retires and we've done all this stuff, I can't get mad at the Jets organization because, you know what, they tried. If we do end up getting him, we'll be playing the host on Sunday Night Football to start the season. And we'll be on primetime 4 or 5 times this year, and the Jets will have relevancy that we haven't seen since the Rex years. So there's a lot of little variables that go on with it. As far as Randall Cobb, G, there's nobody. We already released Barrios. You know, Jeff Smith's already gone. You know, whose job is he taking? It doesn't really matter at this point. He's the fourth or fifth receiver if he stays on the roster. They're not going to sign Mercedes Lewis. There's really no reason to. Mercedes Lewis doesn't fit the bill for this team in any way, shape, or form. So I can't see that happening. But overall, for the Jets, they tried.
The Cobb was in jest, by the way.
Listen, I know he's on the wish list. And once again, I have no idea who's on and who isn't on the – who's going to come through on the wish list. They went and got Lazard. They already showed him what they're going to do with your ass. Odell, do we even know if he can play anymore? I mean, I know he had apparently a great workout. You know what? When nobody's guarding you, a lot of guys have great workouts. You know, it's not that hard. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, they're throwing you little passes. You're wearing shorts. You're running around without pads on. Everybody looks decent. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think we need Odell. It'd be interesting to see tomorrow. We should know by tomorrow from everything I've heard. And we'll know about 1 o'clock. I'll be in a meeting. I won't know till about 2, and I'll be like, shoot, yay, or shoot. Damn it. No, I don't know. But we'll find out, guys. Overall, though, they're trying.
The other football team in New York, the Giants, we knew last week Daniel Jones and Barkley, they're coming back. One on a contract, one on a franchise tag. Today, Giants made a nice trade for Darren Waller for a third-round pick. It's a very good trade. He's a beast out there. The tight end slot is something that they have not had in a while, so he fits a big need. He gives them a number one receiver right off the bat, and I think that's the in case we don't get another wide receiver, at least we're getting a huge target for Daniel Jones to throw to. Giants also signed linebacker Bobby I can't say it.
Okursi.
Yep. And they brought in defensive tackle Raheem Nunez from Tampa Bay. So they're making some moves. They're trying to get everything in order. Darren, any comments on the Giants?
Listen, if Waller stays healthy, it's a great trade. Basically, what they did was they traded Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller. It's the same pick. The pick they got from the Chiefs is the pick they dealt. On paper, that seems like it's a pretty good thing. Now, we've seen a team that's been really successful without a number one wide receiver with a great tight end. They just won a Super Bowl, you know, so it's not like it's impossible to do. Waller becomes quickly number one or number two best tight end in the NFC, depending on how you feel about Pitts in Atlanta, if he's able to come back and a quarterback and get him the ball. You know, it's kind of a no-brainer to take the shot. He's a matchup nightmare. And he gives Daniel Jones that great player to throw to. You know, Josh Jacobs' response pretty much tells it all. Just sad day in Vegas land. You know, losing a superstar like that. I think it's a smart move by the Giants. I think that, you know, they need to do it. They needed to try to get more playmakers around Daniel Jones. You're going to pay him. Now you sit there in this division, you have the best tight end and the best running back in this division. It's a start. You know, I'm not saying that they're the best offensive team in the division, but it's a start. Kev?
Like you said, you know, the health, or Darren, the health is a big concern there. Mm-hmm. He's 30 years old. Last 2 years, he's only played 20 of the 34 games. Big years in 2019 and 2020. Before that, He also missed another year there in 2017. So again, at 30, if he's healthy, great trade. For a third round pick, it's a trade you have to make. He's a playmaker. Yeah. And gives Jones something he hasn't had. And that's a tight end that he can throw the ball to.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you both. I think it's a great trade. The one thing that you see is you take the landscape of which wide receiver free agents are out there. The list is not plentiful. There's no big stars. So if you're gonna make a trade and bring somebody in, and you can't bring in a big wide receiver, well, let's bring in a tight end to, if healthy, maybe, you know, one of the top five tight ends in the game here. So I think it's a really good move for the Giants. In other news, there were a couple of big trades. The big one was obviously the Bears trading away the number one pick to Carolina. The Bears get the number 9 pick, so basically they traded down 8 spots. They also get a second round in 23, a first in 24, a second in 25, and wide receiver DJ Moore. It's a big trade for them. And at the same time, the last couple of days, Chicago's been very active signing guys. They signed Tre'Mon Evans from Buffalo, TJ Edwards from Philly, guard Nate Davis from Tennessee. They're all over the place. So it looks like they're making a lot of changes. They're trying to be competitive. They're going to have a lot of picks now. We'll see what happens. Any comments on the trade, guys?
I think it's a lot of really high-quality picks the Bears got. And right now they're going to take advantage of Fields still being on the rookie contract and try to load up for the next year or two and make a run here. The NFC North looks like it could be wide open here. So now's the time to try to break through and grab that division. Especially if Rodgers is gone from Green Bay. Detroit's moving up. We'll see what happens. You know, Jared Goff, was it a fluke year or has he made that step? And Minnesota, who knows what's going on with them after a very, very poor finish to their season, losing to the Giants in that playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, what you said, you get a number one receiver. You get DJ Moore as a number one, actually. He's not a two, he's a one. Yeah, you got Claypool last year, so now you put two receivers out there for Fields to work with. Kmet is an up-and-coming tight end. He's a good tight end. They lost Montgomery to the Lions today, so the running game, but running backs replace a lot, you know, so they have Herbert still there. They've got guys that you can count on, and you'll come up with more running backs. It's just the way it works. So you're not really worried about that. They have to get tougher on the O-line. If they're able to do that, that'll be a big difference. They did sign some defensive players, and you're right. If Rodgers is gone, which it seems like he is one way or the other, whether he retires or goes to the Jets, now all of a sudden that division is wide open. Bears play against an easier schedule than the Vikings. The Vikings don't look like world beaters, and they lost their heart and soul defensive player in Kendricks. So it was one of those things where, you know, they look like they're more apt to be susceptible. And, you know, Chicago's gonna go make a run at it. I don't blame them for it, Kev.
I mean, for as good as Minnesota's record was last year, they were outscored.
Yeah, they were. They got blown out twice.
Yeah, they won every close game. That does not happen year to year to year in the NFL.
Nope, you're right. I mean, and that's where we're at. I mean, Detroit is going to be an improving team. You know, Love is the quarterback at Green Bay. We don't know what to expect from him. Goff is inconsistent. Cousins gets paid like he's a top quarterback, but I don't think anybody ever sits there and says, oh, I can't wait to watch Kirk Cousins play this week. And you know, so, you know, Fields is probably the most entertaining quarterback in the division. I don't think he can throw that well, but he runs like a deer and he makes people miss. So we'll see what ends up happening with it.
And you're fine with Kirk Cousins on your fantasy team. He's going to put up 4,000 yards a year.
Absolutely. He's going to give you numbers.
But in the NFL,
he's an average quarterback. He's a mediocre, middle of the road quarterback.
You mentioned the Vikings, and They lost Patrick Peterson to Pittsburgh today. That's a big loss. They also lost Cam Detweiler to Washington. Thielen's a free agent. So there's definitely going to be turnover with the Vikings. So if you're Chicago, let's start accumulating and try to make a run at least the next couple of years anyway. It looks like Rodgers won't be in your division anymore. So there's not going to be much left. If you believe in the up and coming Detroit Lions, that's great. But other than that, another big trade that happened the last couple of days, Miami wound up getting Jalen Ramsey from the Rams. They gave up a third round pick. They gave up tight end Hunter Long. They signed quarterback Mike White. They signed linebacker David Long. So they're making a couple of moves. And Dallas, we saw today, traded for Stephon Gilmore from Indianapolis. They acquired him for a fifth round pick. Just a couple of moves. Any comments on those guys?
Well, listen, it's really hard to, Dallas has re-signed Van Der Esch as well. They're trying to get the defense a little bit stronger. Hard to argue with Stephon Gilmore for a five. You have to eat up a lot of cap for it. That's the big thing with that. I thought a couple of the interesting moves. I thought Detroit going out and getting Cameron Sutton to play corner was actually a pretty nice move. And I thought that San Francisco getting Hargrave to play inside on that defensive line that's already amazing. That defense is only gonna be better. You know, you put him alongside Bosa and Armstead and all these guys. It's pretty good move. And Sam Darnold also gets a job out in San Francisco as well. So as a Jet fan, as we look, the quarterbacks, if we don't get, Rodgers, which, it's 50-50. We have no idea what's going to happen. It's either we go back with Wilson, see what we have. We don't even have White to compete with him. Or you're looking at like Baker Mayfield or Tannehill. Are you looking at guys that you were not really the top of your list to start the year? That's kind of where we are now. That's what it looks like the Jets are going to be in the market for.
Would you give up? Oh, sorry, G. Would you give up the two ones and try to go for the big contract of Lamar?
I got to be honest. I don't like a quarterback that's been injured the last 2 years that runs. I could see him getting hurt and never playing again, and we gave up two ones for him. I could just see that being the case. I don't like Lamar as much as a lot of other people do. I can't argue with the fact that he's been an MVP. But how many playoff wins does he have?
And Darren, it's a good point because we know other quarterbacks were on the move. Atlanta signed Heineke, the Saints signed Derek Carr, and the Raiders signed the Raiders signed Garoppolo. They also brought in Jacoby Myers from New England, the wide receiver. So a lot of quarterbacks now off the board, and you're right. The Jets, if it's not Rodgers and if it's not Lamar Jackson, where are they going? And it's going to be one of these guys that none of the Jet fans are really going to be happy with. I can tell you right now.
Kirk Cousins.
I thought the most interesting signing of the day was that Bradbury re-signed with Philly. Just because whenever you have a moment where you have a guy that made the hold that cost your team the Super Bowl, usually think that they move on from him. But they gave him a 3-year deal because Slay has now asked for a trade out of Philly. Austin Eckler has asked for a trade out of the Charger organization. A lot of unhappy guys when they don't get their contracts. The Chiefs made a strange move. They didn't do anything with Orlando Brown, but they signed Jawan Taylor, who's not as good as Brown, paying him about the $20 million that they were going to have to pay Brown if they franchise him. So I didn't quite understand the move, but nobody asked me my opinion on that one, I guess.
A lot of other moves. We won't go through them right now. A lot of moves are still yet to happen. Any other NFL things you guys want to talk about before we move on?
No, I'm pretty covered.
All right, let's talk about a little NBA. Kev, want to start us?
Yeah. News came out today. John Morant is in a counseling program in Florida. Supposedly, there's a lot more going on in his life from a personal perspective. That's why he's going through the counseling. And there are questions if he's even going to come back this year or if he needs to get his life straightened out before he can even think about rejoining the Grizzlies and the NBA. Again, a lot of that speculation just from reading the stuff on the web. But boy, that was a bit shocking to hear this morning, or to hear about today.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be another week, and all of a sudden now he's out indefinitely. And listen, this is what happened. You take a guy that doesn't have any money, and all of a sudden you give him millions of dollars, and stuff happens. I mean, listen, we'd all pray to have that problem, but you know, we don't know what that comes with. We don't know what the responsibility of being in our early 20s with all this money comes with, and a lot of it apparently. That guy was dropping 50 grand a night at strip clubs. My God, you know. Kevin and I throwing a dollar up every now and again back in the day. It was a big deal. You know? Lap dance. Are you kidding me? You know, but I mean, I'm just saying, this guy, you know, obviously has to work out his inner demon, so to speak, and get his life on track. And you just hope he does, because he's a tremendous talent that we all want to watch on the court at the same time. You know what? You want him to be as good a person and live a long, healthy life. So that's kind of what you hope for him.
Yep. On the court more, last week we meant Gino had put them into his top five, the Phoenix Suns. And then Kevin Durant in practice or the layup line goes out, sprains the ankle, out for 2 weeks. Durant can't stay healthy.
Good to know I always have a good jinx in me.
And his former running mate, Kyrie, and Luka Doncic, both were banged up last week, the last couple days. Both have missed two games in a row. Again, another trade that right now is, especially just overall, Mavericks are 3-7 in the last 10, which pretty much covers the period since the trade. They've lost three in a row, the last two without those two guys. They just haven't been able to gel yet. Can Dallas turn this around in time for the playoffs?
And then you have the Nets go into Denver and win, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the Nets look like when they made the trade, the first game was great, you know, for Bridges. Then all of a sudden, they had that disaster in Chicago where they lost by like 40. And you're like, oh, God, then they lost three in a row. And you say, oh, it's going to be like six in a row, or seven in a row, eight in a row. They seem to have turned it around. Now it's going to be how the West was won is going to be really, really interesting because, you know, on paper, if everybody comes back on Phoenix, that's the best team. On paper, if Doncic and Kyrie can put it all together, that's a great team. Statistically, Sacramento is playing great. They have the longest drought of any team in North American sports from the last time they made the playoffs, by the way. And right now they've clinched a 40-win season, which is, you know, uncharted territories for them. And then Denver's still the leader, and they're going to finish as the one. I mean, the West is going to be wild. The Golden State, up and down, doesn't win on the road. You know, the Lakers seem to be playing okay, but then the Knicks went in there, broke their losing streak by beating the Lakers. Clippers have great moments and bad moments. That West is crazy. It really is, up and down, topsy-turvy, all over the place. Jake?
Yeah, let's hope now that I have put Sacramento in my top five that I don't give them.
Don't jinx my Kings.
Kev, any other news?
Nope, not for me.
All right, let's do top five.
Kick it off, Kev.
All right. Number one, Milwaukee, 8-2 in the last 10, still the best record in the NBA right now. Number two, I've got them jumping up with a five-game winning streak. They're the fourth best record, but they're only a game out of second for the record right now. I've got the 76ers just because they're playing better at number two. I have them moved ahead of Denver, who's number three, still hanging on there. They've lost three in a row, but still leading the West by a comfortable seven games or so. Number four, I've got Boston sliding down. They're only 5-5 in the last 10, have not been playing all that well. Lost a couple of games to the locals, also the Knicks and the Nets. And number five, I was tossed up between Memphis and Sacramento. I went with Memphis. They've won three in a row, even with all the Ja stuff going on. So those are my five. Like I said, if you want to tell me Sacramento, I would put them in the 5-2. I have no issues with that.
Darren? I have Milwaukee one. I have Denver still at two, Boston at three. I got Philly at 4, and yes, I have Sacramento at 5 with the, now that they have their 40 wins. They're just playing well right now. Darren?
Yeah, I have Milwaukee 1. I kept Boston at 2. I know they've been struggling. They lost 3-2 to the Knicks, 1 to the Nets, but they also haven't been healthy. I think as they come back, I think it'll be a little bit of a different story. I move Philly up to 3 ahead of Denver, and I put Denver 4, Sac 5. Cleveland 6, Memphis 7, and I had Brooklyn show their face in the 8th spot, and then they lost tonight to Oklahoma City by 14 points. So even though Bridges still put up 34, Oak City is playing pretty good ball right now too. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of mediocrity a little bit here in the NBA, a lot of those middling teams that beat each other up a little bit.
Okay. NHL?
Sure.
Bruins are the fastest team to 100 points. Kev, take it away.
I was going to say fastest to 50 wins, fastest to 100. And the first team this year in the NHL to clinch a playoff spot. Even though I guess it was late last week, the interesting game against Edmonton, Boston had the 2-0 lead after one. Edmonton came back. No points for McDavid, no points for Draisaitl, and yet Edmonton still got 3 goals in the second and third periods and won 3-2 over Boston. I don't know if it was just a fluke game for Boston or if there's a team out there that can beat them in a series.
NHL is the only sport where the 8 seed is just as good as the 1 seed in almost every series that we watch. There's never a lock in anything, so to speak. You know, I mean, listen, Edmonton does it, and it wasn't McDavid and Draisaitl, but Hyman's a great player. They have a bunch of guys, Nugent Hopkins. They have a bunch of guys that put the puck in the net. It's almost like watching Edmonton from the early 80s, where the second line had Messier on it. You know, and I know how much you love Messier, Kev, so I want to mention that. You know, but yeah, and Asa Tikkanen on the third line. I mean, you had a bunch of guys that could always put it in the net. This Edmonton team is that talented. Their big question is going to be if they get the goaltending and the defense in the playoffs. Boston, I would call it a fluke. I would have to imagine. I mean, their record is too good to not think so. They had won 10 in a row at the time. I mean, you know, not brutal. Islanders, you know, up and down. They played some really good games, and then all of a sudden they lost the Caps the other night, which hurt a little bit.
Yep.
You know, they play the Kings tonight in a game I think they need to have, because they still have more games played than a couple of teams that are behind them, so you want to just kind of hold that lead. Devils lost tonight, but they did win in Carolina, so I was impressed with that the other night. And the Rangers won again, I think, tonight. I think they beat the Caps 5-3. So the locals are all giving us everything we could ask for. They're all competitive.
The Islanders have a 3-game California trip. Like I said, L.A. tonight. They've got Anaheim and San Jose.
The other two are winnable games.
If they can come out of here 2-1, I'd be thrilled.
Go 2-0-1. Take 5 out of 6.
That'd be even better.
You know, the Islanders can play tonight. They can be in this game tonight.
But, you know, they're still neck and neck with Pittsburgh for the 2 wild cards. Big chase behind them. Florida, Buffalo, Washington, Ottawa, all within 6 points in the Islanders.
It's close.
You mentioned the Rangers. They are settled very comfortably in 3rd place. I think the Devils and Carolina are too far ahead of them to catch up, but I don't think they're dropping back to the wild card. So the Rangers will play in the first round, the 2nd place team between Carolina and the Devils.
It'll be a great – you hope it's the Devils just because you want it to be a great local series.
Yep.
You know, and 2 young teams that skate fast, and it'll be kind of a fun one, fun matchup. You guys have anything else on hockey?
Only that Connor McDavid is just freaking awesome.
Yeah, he sucks.
Right now he's leading in goals, assists, total points at 127. He's just on fire right now. The ties for MVP at this moment. I don't see that changing, but we'll see what happens in the last, you know, 15, 20 games here.
He can score 0 points in the last 15, and he's gonna win the MVP, G. He could be shut out the next 15 games, and I think he won the MVP already.
I agree.
Top five. Top five. Obviously, Boston won.
I did this
before the game tonight. I had the Devils 2, Carolina 3, only because the Devils had won 3 in a row. Carolina had lost 2 straight by shutout. And, of course, the results were the Devils lose tonight and Carolina winning. 4 is Vegas and 5 is Dallas. Both have won 3 in a row going into tonight. Both have been hot in the last 10. And I've got Toronto right there at 6. So that's my top 5.
I have the same top 3. I got the Bruins 1, New Jersey 2, Carolina 3. I have Toronto at 4. And I have the streaking Minnesota team who's 8-0-2 in their last 10 in number 5. Darren?
I have Boston, New Jersey, and Carolina, very different than you guys, and Vegas to match Kevin with 4. I put the Kings in the 5 spot. They're still playing well in their last 10. And I don't know. They're on a good run. I got Toronto and Minnesota right behind them. That would be my top 7 with the Rangers just off the pace.
All right. NHL. We'll see. It's going to be a good stretch run for all 3 teams here. So we're going to find out if the Islanders have enough to get themselves into the playoffs here with the other 2. We'll move on to some baseball news. Not really a lot going on. Spring training. The injuries continue to pile up. Yankee injuries to Montas, to Rodon, to Bader. The Mets with an injury to Senga. We'll see what happens. Beatty on fire. Volpe on fire for the Yankees. Guys, any Yankee Met news going on?
Not hard to judge because I think both teams have a lot of players in the World Baseball Classic. So
that's it.
These spring training games now, you've got some of the younger guys having a chance to play a lot. Otherwise, you can't really tell. I think if you're a Met fan, the good thing you've seen the last 2 days were McGill and Peterson both having strong starts. Quintana looks like he's out till at least July. I guess along with the stress fracture in his rib or something, they found a lesion on the rib. Turned out to be benign. They're doing some sort of bone graft to repair it. Luckily, it's nothing. When you hear lesions and taking biopsies, you're glad that it's nothing more serious than just a benign growth or something on there.
Agreed.
Yep.
All the best to him. And from a selfish baseball perspective, you hope he gets back after the All-Star break sometime and contributes down the stretch.
Yeah.
As a Yankee fan, I really want to see Volpe make this team. I know they're not going to give Dominguez the spot. You know it too, Gino. They're not going to let him come up this early. But Volpe has done everything right. He deserves to make the squad at this point. Right now, I know that there's always that fear of, you bring him up too soon, he loses confidence, you don't get him. This kid looks like he's got oodles of confidence. I'm not really worried about it. And the same thing on the Mets side. You want to see Beatty. I don't see any way he doesn't start at third base. His glove looks like it's there. His bat is certainly there. He's fun. He's young. He's homegrown, Gino. And he's guys hitting the crap out of the ball. You want him to play. You like seeing a young guy in the lineup. You want to see these guys make it. For the Yankees, I mean, the loss of Bader, who looks like he's supposed to be a Yankee, hurts. You just don't know if we're going to have Bader hurt every year. Because when he plays, he has that grit and that determination. He's like a talented version of Brett Gardner. You like it. You just want to see, the Yankees get a little healthy. The Rodon injury scares you. You knew Montas was a mess.
You mentioned something about Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
So at this moment, and we got weeks before the season starts, what do you want to see them do? Because you can't have them up here and not play. So if you're bringing him, if you're putting him on the major league roster, he's got to play.
Yep.
So what do you want them to do?
I want him to play third base.
Okay.
I want Peraza to play shortstop, and I want Torres to play second, and I want Josh Donaldson to sit back and DH once every 6 games until we can get rid of him. How's that sound?
Okay. It does. Listen,
I have a plan. I want that young left side of the infield. I want to see what we got.
It is a very fair statement. And if that is the plan, I'm fine. I hope that something like that is the plan. Because one, I don't want to see him or Peraza up here and not playing. So if both of them are going to be up here, I want both of them playing. If they're both not going to play, I don't want both of them up here, because then one of them is just going to sit there, and then you don't know what it's going to do to their confidence. And if they're both healthy and both playing well, that's what we want to see. Yeah. So if that turns out to be the plan, I'm good with it. I think that's a good plan to go by. So,
and I give IKF a catcher's mitt and make him valuable in fantasy leagues again, because he's not valuable anywhere else. Give him a catcher's mitt. I have no confidence in the Yankee catching position. I'm sorry. Trevino doesn't sit there and strike me as someone where I'm like, oh, he's a must-have. Give the kid a glove. Put him back there. Let him catch.
Stolen bases is a catcher, right?
Wasting time. A catcher that can steal bases. He'll be, everybody will love him. Contact hitter. He'll be fine behind the plate. You don't need a lot from him. At shortstop, you need a lot from him. We know he's got the arm to play catcher. Let him play. Enough of this crap. Enough of this Donaldson. Enough of this garbage of these guys that we pay too much and they don't produce. I don't need that anymore. I already have Rizzo. I have Stanton. I have two old guys already. I don't need anybody else.
The other news, we glanced on it last week. The Arizona Diamondbacks signed Corbin Carroll to an 8-year, $111 million contract. Kid has been up here for a cup of coffee. We'll see if it actually pans out. If he's anything like his minor league numbers, he's going to be dynamic on the base paths, and he's probably has 20 homer potential. We'll see if that materializes. The only other news I have this week turned out to be the passing of one of the Yankees. I can't call him a legend. He was a good player, but not a great player. It's Joe Pepitone at 82 years old. Unbelievably, he was a three-time All-Star. He had three gold gloves. But here's the crazy thing. He played in the 60s with the Yankees. He has no World Series rings. I don't know how that's possible, by the way. With some of the teams that had that were in that era, in that century, how he has no World Series rings is a little crazy. Guys, any other baseball notes, comments?
The reason we know Pepitone so well is because of the all-timers game. Old-timers games used to mean something, and they were exciting for everybody. And Joe Pepitone would come out, and he looked kind of young. He could still play first base, and it was kind of cool, and it was all that stuff. But he was like the Horace Clark Yankees, the horrible Yankees of the late 60s, more than the early 60s Yankees, where they had a couple of last little hurrahs where they tried to make a run at it. And, we had that drought that we weren't really alive for, guys, but from up till 77, from the early 60s. So, I mean, It was a big drought for the Yankees that we're going through again right now, to be honest with you. Just one of those things.
Okay.
Stupid pitch clock.
You don't like it.
The newest thing now, it came out yesterday. The rule was hitter had to be in the box 8 seconds.
Gino loves this.
Pitcher could throw it. Now the batter has to be in the batter's box. He has to be engaged with the pitcher by 8 seconds. The pitcher cannot come set until the batter is engaged, the pitcher. So now the batter can get in the box with 15 seconds left, twiddle around, do this, do that. The pitcher now is on the mound, waiting for the hitter to look up to him so that the pitcher can now come set. So he's got less than 8 seconds now to throw the ball. I mean, this whole stupid thing is just...
Don't say a word, Mr. Kevin. Do not say a word. This is exactly what happened after the Scherzer garbage 2 weeks ago. You were happy about what Scherzer was doing, and that here's the result. Listen, they're going to play around with this rule until they get it right before the season starts. This is why they're trying it out here. You can't argue with the result of the games being shorter. You may not like the 20 seconds. You may not like the 20 seconds in between, but the fact that there's only 20 seconds makes the game a hell of a lot better.
We'll see. I still want to know late
it's
in the
a
game.
Lot better now. It's a lot better now. You don't have to see. Watch a game.
It's spring training. Nobody's watching in spring training.
How many full games are you watching in spring training, Gino?
None.
Nobody is.
But my point is, watch three innings, and you'll see what the difference is.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying that it's not going to be great in April and May. I want to see what it's like in September when my pitcher's in a big spot and we're in trouble and they call a ball on because he can't get on the same page as the catcher because all of a sudden we've taken the timeless pastime and put a time limit on it to appease a bunch of 12-year-olds that think the sport is too slow.
The fact of the matter is we will not have just taken it out. It will have been out for 5 months. So in September, in your opinion, it's going to suck. But in 5 months, they have to adjust to this. So if they can't get in the batter's box and they can't get the pitch off, then, yeah, they're going to be – the rules state what's going to happen.
So let's take the umpires out already, Gino. Let's just make this computerized all the way through. Let's make it Strat-O-Matic baseball. Let's just do that. What are we doing?
The umpires, that whole situation's coming also, but we're not there.
Well, here's the thing. Let's take away more jobs and give them to computers. Let's just keep doing that. That's smart.
I don't trust Angel Hernandez and CB Buckner to call base pass stuff. You're going to have them controlling pitch clocks now too? I mean, come on.
Honestly, I think the clock is about 5 seconds too fast. I know that sounds like nothing, but I think it's about 5 seconds too fast.
You may be right.
Not a lot. I'm saying 5 seconds. I'm not saying a lot. And I agree with Kevin on the crap about the set. Listen, what is it, tennis now? I got to show you the ball before I throw it up to serve it? Get the hell out of here. You get up there, you whack it. But I get everything you're saying, Gino, and I understand that they're trying to appeal this game like the NBA is and like football is, where it's all fantasy and all offense and all points and who cares about anything else. I don't know. I just enjoy the game the other way, but I get what you're all saying right for the future. But I understand. I understand what your all point right is. But
let's move on to some golf. We'll touch on the golf Players Championship this past weekend.
Scotty Scheffler,
Kev.
Any other
Scotty Scheffler with the win? Kev.
Scotty Scheffler wins by 5, retakes number 1 ranking. The tough part was you looked at that leaderboard on Sunday. There were no other big names on there. For the most part, Morikawa was up there Saturday. He fell off Sunday, and the rest of the top 5 or 6 just had no spark or no nothing. Yeah, Darren.
Rahm pulled out. Rahm had a good first round. He pulled out. Now I'm not saying that Rahm would have been great. I have no idea, but you know what? He had a great first round, and I think he would have been up on that leaderboard. I really do. It's hard for me to imagine him tanking. He usually gets better as the weekend goes.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally. That would have been the other guy that would have been there with him. Scheffler won for fun. He didn't even watch it. It wasn't even really any – there was no threat.
I'll tell you the one thing I do like. I do like watching the professional golfers put the ball in the water on the island green. I have to tell you.
Makes them feel like us.
I mean,
from someone that puts a lot of balls in the water on a golf course, it's nice to see the professionals doing it every once in a while.
Gee, I agree. I couldn't agree more.
You take a look behind Scheffler, Hatton, Hovland, Hoag, Matsuyama, Homa, Suh, Rose, Lingmuth, Im, Davis, Woo Lee. How many names did you recognize there?
Well, I mean, listen, the first couple you do, and Homa had been playing well.
Homa's been playing well.
Victor Hovland has been kind of a guy that's been rumored for a while. He's been up and down. Tyrrell Hatton has his good matches, his good weeks, his bad weeks. But these are not like the stars of the tour. I agree with you. There's no Justin Thomas. There's no Spieth. There's none of these special guys that you really want to see. Schauffele. None of these guys really make it. And I know it's disappointing when that happens.
Yep.
Honestly, one of the biggest moments was the replay, because I didn't see it live, obviously, is the replay of the hole-in-one on the Island Green. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes that so great. 2/3 of the guys are putting it in the water, and one guy gets it in.
Yeah. I know.
It makes it kind of fun. Listen,
all right.
It's a fun tournament. It really is. But this year, there was no magic on Sunday to make it exciting.
I forget who it was, but I like the guy in 18 who did 10 cup.
I don't remember it. I can't remember who it was.
He put 3 straight drives into the water. Hit one, drop two, hit three, drop four, hit five, drop six, hit seven.
Can somebody tell him he doesn't have to hit it from there?
He doesn't have to hit it from there. He can drop.
One of those things.
Yep.
All right. Before we move on to the brackets for the Sports Kings of Queens, any other sports items we want to touch on? A lot of stuff going on. Kev?
Women's NCAA, before we get to the men's, a more important one. Two things. UConn. Not a strong year. They've made 14 straight Final Fours. They're a two seed this year. Did they make the Final Four?
I think they'll find a way.
Gina?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, I thought it was interesting on the FanDuel. South Carolina, of course, is a big favorite, undefeated. They are minus 175 versus the field, who is plus 130. Gun to your head, who are you taking? Are you taking the field or are you taking South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Take the field.
South Carolina. Listen, women's basketball hasn't caught up to men's basketball yet. There's still blowouts. There's still teams that are superior to others. It's just the way the sport is right now.
There's never been anything lower than a three seed to win the tournament. So it's a heavy favorite. But I've never seen a plus 130 for the field. That's incredible.
I remember a couple of years ago, Mississippi State made it to the final. They won a semifinal against, I think it was Connecticut. And then they lost to, and that was a big deal, them just beating Connecticut to get to the final game. And they were like a one seed, but they were unexpected. I mean, that's where the disparity is. If you look at the men's field, if Purdue wins it, you're not stunned. If Houston wins it, you're not stunned. If, even Arizona as a two wins it, you're not stunned. But, it's one of two teams that you expect to kind of, you give a puncher's chance to Connecticut as the second team, and South Carolina should win.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really uber talented. But listen, I don't know how good the Big Ten is. I don't know if Iowa and this, you hear these stupid statements, and I'm going to sound sexist here, which makes me look like a jerk for a second. But enough of this. Oh, Caitlin Clark can put up 15 against the guys. No, she couldn't.
No.
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but they put a real defender on her, and she's not going to get a shot off. First, I got to find out, is she playing with the girls' ball or the guys' ball? Because they're different sizes. Secondly, there's no way she has the athleticism. Oh, Brittany Griner would play in the NBA. No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't have a shot. She has no hops. She would get eaten alive. Great for their sport. Stop trying to compare it. Serena Williams was not going to beat the men. She was not going to. Even in her heyday, she wasn't going to beat men in the top 150. Just the athletic ability is different. I'm not trying to judge it negatively. It's just enough of the crap with Caitlin Clark. She's great.
I go back about 20 years ago, Annika Sorenstam.
I was about to say that. Yep.
Best at that time, clear cut best player on the women's tour
before the Asians took it over.
Right. And I know you had Michelle Wee trying to play on the men's tour. That was a whole other farce.
Annika, she didn't love that I said that.
Annika was the best women's player. She says she wanted to challenge herself. She got a sponsored exemption to like the Colonial.
Mm-hmm.
Went out there, played from the men's tees, went out there, missed the cut, I believe.
Yep.
But for her, as a personal challenge, as the best female in the world, to challenge herself playing the best men in the world, or not even the best, I mean, the Colonial's not a big tournament, and she couldn't make the cut. And again, not trying to disparage Annika.
Oh, she was awesome.
One of the top two or three all time. You put Nancy Lopez, Annika, I don't know.
And a host of Asians.
Men and women are different. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the size and the muscles. It's not it's not to insult anybody. The women are great for their sport. And, you sit there and, I'm going to watch Iowa female play because this girl shoots the lights out. And I'm going to catch Indiana and Ohio State and see how the Big Ten competes with the other conferences because I've never seen the Big Ten dominant since Minnesota had a little run with Lindsey Whalen back in the day a few years back. I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see. But, it's a different sport. Let's not muddy the waters. The women's sport is great for what the women's sport is. The men's sport is great for what the men's sport is. Neither one of the NBA either, by the way,
I mean, going back, UConn, Tennessee, when they had the big rivalry, when Tennessee was really good, mm-hmm. those were the games you watched. Those are usually the finals. It felt like that was a highly competitive game that you watched as a sports fan. You didn't need to see UConn or Tennessee early rounds because you knew they were winning by 50.
Exactly. I mean, Notre Dame had a couple of years with Skylar Diggins. I mean, you always have a couple of teams that come out of nowhere for a little bit. But, yeah, again, and I'm not. This is not about the women's game tonight. But, you know, it's an interesting point. South Carolina is that dominant in a sport that's that dominant right now. Yeah. You know, that they own right now. A couple other quick points on college hoops before we get into the brackets, guys. Well, actually, really just one. Jim Boeheim. Okay, so he, you know, now he's happy to be retired at 78. He probably should have been gone 10 years ago. So there's a guy that works for Galaxy Sports up in Syracuse, and Boeheim's friend owns that company, and Boeheim's an investor in it, that was criticizing Boeheim and got fired. This tells us everything we need to know about who Jim Boeheim is. Jim Boeheim deserved to be criticized in the last 10 years. To be honest, you know, I mean, he was a Syracuse legacy. He was there from 76. Not trying to say he didn't have a great career or a Hall of Fame career, but yeah, he's been hanging on for way too long. Some of these guys have to step aside. You know, I was a little bit taken aback. And, you know, he'll deny that it was him that did it. I mean, but they fired a sportscaster that was there for a while because he was critical of Syracuse basketball and Syracuse sports altogether. Guy's name was something Axe, Brent Axe, I think it is. And yeah, worked for Galaxy Sports up there. I just thought that that was something that, like, wow, a little bit crazy. And then one last point, track and field, and then we'll go to the brackets. Anybody here know who Dick Fosbury is?
Fosbury Fall.
No. You got it. So a mediocre athlete from Oregon State University died yesterday, passed away same day as Joe Pepitone. That's why I'm only bringing it up.
No.
Was the first guy to, you know, to do the high jump going backwards over the bar. Everybody else always went forward. He perfected the steps, wrote them out, mapped it out perfectly. Dick Fosbury did the Fosbury flop and revolutionized the high jump as we know it in the 1960s. Just thought I'd share that. Dick Fosbury, rest in peace. Gee, I guess we'll go brackets. No?
It is time for the Sports Kings from Queens. Queens, Queens, Queens. Brackets 2023. The consensus picks. Let's take it away.
We're going to go through every single pick. We'll do it as fast as we can. And whoever we have a minimum of two, that's the team we pick. That's all it's going to be. We're going to start in the upper quadrant. Alabama, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi won tonight. First game is out of the way. Kev?
Texas A&M, Corpus, no, Alabama.
Gino?
Alabama.
Move on, Alabama. Maryland, West Virginia. 8-9. Kev?
Maryland.
G?
Maryland.
Maryland it is. Yeah, it was a sweep, by the way. I had Maryland also. San Diego State, Charleston. Start with you, Kev, 12-5.
San Diego State.
G?
San Diego State.
That's three in a row. We're all on the same page. This is not good for anybody. Virginia Furman, the 4-13 matchup.
Virginia.
Jake?
Virginia.
UVA moves on.
Wow.
6-11, Creighton, NC State.
Creighton.
Creighton.
I'm the only one with the NC State outlier. So I lose, we go Creighton. Eight. I like NC State in that game. Baylor against Santa Barbara. Kev?
Baylor.
G? Baylor. Baylor it is. Missouri, Utah State. Kev?
Utah State.
Gino?
Utah State.
I'm the outlier that likes Missouri, so I'm out. Okay. And then Arizona, Princeton. Kev?
Arizona.
G?
Arizona.
I'm going to go with Arizona, too. Do we want to finish this bracket or we want to do first round all the way around? Let's finish the Midwest. Alabama, Maryland, the 1 versus the 8.
Alabama.
G?
I will take Alabama as well. So we will go with Alabama there.
Alabama gets that one. San Diego State, Virginia. Kev?
San Diego State.
Gino?
San Diego State.
I have Virginia, so therefore I'm outnumbered again. You guys are on the same page all through this bracket so far.
This is
Creighton,
not good.
Baylor.
Creighton.
G?
Creighton.
I have Baylor. Okay, Creighton it is. I'm getting crushed here in the consensus bracket. Utah State, Arizona. Kev?
Arizona.
G?
Yeah, Arizona. Too much for Utah State.
All right, Arizona it is. Alabama, San Diego State.
Alabama.
G?
Yeah, Alabama.
Alabama it is. Creighton and Arizona. Kev?
Creighton.
Gino?
Arizona.
Oh.
Arizona it is. I'm going with Arizona. Wow, Alabama versus Arizona. First, it sucks to lose, doesn't it? I'm 0-4. Alabama, Zona.
Alabama.
G?
Alabama.
Alabama consensus. Okay.
Well, that's one that we don't have the upsets.
No, I don't think any of us did. I had NC State going around. I mean, that was my big one. And I think
the rest of the brackets are going to be some numbers. So
there you go.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll start down at the East with Purdue and Texas Southern FDU winner.
Gino, go ahead.
Purdue.
Okay. So we'll go Gino, me, and you on this round here, Kev. Okay, Memphis, Florida Atlantic, G.
Florida Atlantic.
I'm taking Florida Atlantic as well, Kev.
It's a sweep, Florida Atlantic.
Okay. Duke, Oral Roberts, G.
Duke.
I'm taking Duke, too, and I hate that.
Duke.
What's so up with John Shire already? They're showing him all over the place like he's done amazing things. Enough.
So do I, by the way.
Yeah, Duke. Tennessee, Louisiana, G.
Louisiana.
Tennessee, Kev?
The tie-breaking vote goes Louisiana.
Okay, Louisiana goes on. So much for my final four team of Tennessee out of that bracket. Kentucky, Providence, G.
Kentucky.
Okay, Kansas State. I have Kentucky also, sorry.
It's a sweep.
Yep. Kansas State, Montana State, G.
Kansas State.
I'm going to take Kansas State as well.
It's a sweep.
Kansas okay. State. Michigan State, USC, G.
USC.
I have USC also.
I have Michigan State.
Yep. Welcome to my life. Gino's the only one that hasn't lost yet in one of these. Marquette, Vermont, G.
Marquette.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.